Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Karen Geary. Ma'am, you may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Howard Wackler, and I am Director of the Division of Information and Intelligence Systems here at NSF. I want to start by welcoming you all to the NSF Smart Health and Wellbeing Solicitation Webinar, and of course, wishing you all a Happy New Year. This is the second year of our ongoing Smart Health program, and I'm pleased to say that it is both expanded in scope and refined in definition. We face many challenges as a society in healthcare, from effective care at efficient cost to the means of early detection and prevention. The goal is not just dealing with the implications of disease and impairment, but also with prevention and ultimately improving the overall quality of life of those both in need of care and those providing it. The discussion today is intended to help you prepare and submit your best approaches to these goals through the advancement of computer science, engineering, and the social, behavioral, and economic sciences. Leading you through the discussion today will be program directors representing each of the participating directorates. Misha Pavel, the Smart Health Program Director, is from the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate. Famita Chaudhary is a program director from the Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences Directorate. And Russell Barton, program director from the Engineering Directorate. We will start with an overview of Solicitation 12-512 and then continue by responding to questions that you submit via email or via chat. So thank you all for joining us, and best of luck with your proposals. Misha?
Thank you for your introduction. My first slide is actually introducing the members of the team that are present. Okay. And you heard from Howard, the people who are present here is Russ Barton, Famita Chaudhary, Vasant Haunavar, and two AAAS Fellow, that's American Association for Advancement of Science, Will Barkis and Julia Skapik, who were fundamental contributors to this program. The first thing I'd like to do is give you a little bit of an overview, motivation for the Smart Health and Wellbeing Program, then describe the areas of research, challenges for the program, and finally, the specifics of application. We will then open the, as Howard said, we will open the webinar for questions. Now, if we can get moving, yes. Everyone agrees that healthcare is currently in one of the key national and global challenges. We spend large amounts of money on healthcare, over $8,000 per person, which is about 16% of our gross national domestic product. Despite the expenditures, the results as measured by a variety of metrics are unimpressive relative to other countries. Other indicators of the deficiencies of the current system include estimates of the medical errors that are responsible for probably more than 100,000 deaths a year. And this situation will get much worse as the population is aging, resulting in an increasing number of people requiring care. The epidemiological data that suggests that a significant proportion of the cost is due to preventable conditions that result from lifestyle and health-related behaviors of individuals. So these and many similar considerations suggest the need for a disruptive change in the way we deliver healthcare. Recently, the need to change the healthcare system has been recognized by a number of analysts and organizations. Two of the most prominent examples of these are reports released by the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, PCAST, in December of 2010. The first report on the potential of health information technology is focused on the potential of networking and information technology to improve healthcare. The second report, Mr. President, is a periodic congressionally mandated review of federal networking and information technology research and development, NIDERT, program. This report presents a broader vision of designing the digital future, but includes healthcare as a prominent area for research and development. In addition to PCAST reports, there are numerous other activities and reports outlining the potential for solutions at the intersection of computer networking and information technology and healthcare. It is becoming increasingly clear that the application of technology is thought by many to be a key component of any strategy for addressing healthcare issues. In summary, these reports make two important points. First, they emphasize the need for disruptive change in healthcare delivery. The second, they suggest that recent advances in science and technology can help us realize this change. The next slide contains some of the changes that need to be made in healthcare. Currently, healthcare gets engaged when a person gets sick. It is reactive, episodic, and focus on disease. The new healthcare will have to be proactive, preventive, and focused on life and life quality and well-being. Current healthcare is hospital and doctor-centered. This needs to be replaced by patient-centric approach with as much care as possible provided at home, possibly via telehealth or other technology, with the possibility of including family and community as a significant contributor to individual health and well-being. The current approach to diagnosis and treatment is based on training and experience of the clinicians. This has to be changed to provide an evidence-based approach using every possible piece of evidence that we can summon, including randomized controlled trials, electronic health records, and so on. These changes to be implemented require the involvement of patients. Patients need to be able to participate actively in their own care. The empowerment of patients is one of the key components of future health care. But change is difficult. For example, changing our food habits will be especially difficult because fast food is available and tasty. Food, transportation, and communication technology enabled access to fast food and permit us to be less active. Could we possibly use technology to change these unhealthy behaviors? We hope so. In summary, for the motivation section, information and communication technologies are poised to support healthcare transformation by preventing the onset of diseases, improving diagnosis and treatment, enhancing quality of healthcare delivery, and empowering us to participate in our own healthcare. Let's look at the sample of advances, recent technical advances that may make it possible. Networking and technology will mediate access to huge amounts of data to bear on healthcare process. Mobile and wearable technology and computing, in conjunction with social networks, is likely to change our ability to collect data and help change our behaviors. Cyber-physical systems and robotics will enable unprecedented changes and interventions at home. The control of privacy and security are also among the key enablers of healthcare transformation. Unobtrusive monitoring may revolutionize our ability for physical and behavioral assessment, inference, and phenotyping. Statistical pattern recognition and machine learning may enable the development of computational predictive models relating measurable data to the underlying phenomena. Now, here is a slide that illustrates a small set of examples of technology based on advances in more real technology. The applications range from pervasive computing that includes environmental, behavioral, and physiological sensing to social computing and informatics. These technological advances and new applications open enormous opportunities, but also give rise to new fundamental problems that need to be solved in order to derive the maximum benefit from them. In this slide, we illustrate the framework, a conceptual architecture for the different components that contribute to the individual-centered care, with a focus on technology implementing the smart healthcare. On the right is the multimodal data collection system feeding a variety of applications that convert raw data to knowledge. The components on the bottom represent the infrastructure, and the components on the left represent various forms of interventions and care. These include the members of care teams, but also the patient himself and his robotic devices. On the top, there are a number of components pertaining to economic, political, and legal factors that play important and key role in transformation of healthcare that have to be incorporated into the process. The need for solving fundamental scientific questions and making new discoveries that would enable the transformation of healthcare was the motivation for Smart Health and Wellbeing Program. The goals of the program include bridging the gaps that exist in science and technology in support of health and wellness, leveraging fundamental science research supported by NSF. In this solicitation, NSF is looking for highly innovative, high-risk, high-payoff proposals concerned with transformation of healthcare and focus on prevention and well-being. The fundamental research issues appear to naturally cluster into four broad research areas. I would like to emphasize that these areas are not mutually exclusive and do not represent a unique classification. Rather, this classification should be used as a guide in selecting fundamental questions to be addressed by the smart health and well-being research. Digital health information infrastructure is associated with continuous accrual and integration of electronic health records, pharma, clinical research data, in distributed but federated system. The ultimate goal of this research is to bring data such as EHR, electronic health records, to where it's needed, when it's needed. The second area, data to knowledge to decision, comprises research concerned with making the best possible use of the data in support of evidence-based healthcare. The third area is focused on how technology could empower patients or individuals to participate in their own healthcare that could lead to better and more affordable care. Sensors, devices, and robotics represent technology for sensing and intervention that enables us to close the loop using intelligent technologies. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on each of these four areas. The goal of the digital health information infrastructure is to assure the lifelong health information can follow an individual everywhere and be available at any time. Making that possible requires significant research. Research is required to develop interoperable, distributed, federated, and scalable digital infrastructure and tools for effective sharing of of diverse health records, clinical data, results of biomedical research, and longitudinal population studies. Among the key concerns here regarding knowledge representation is the inhomogeneity of the content of databases, for example, electronic health records, among the different providers and variety of data sources with diverse terminology, definition, and data provenance. We use the term data provenance to refer to the process of tracing and recording the origins of data, their characteristics, their movement between databases. Specific research questions include, but are not limited to, how to harmonize data from different sources and providers, how to implement a universal exchange language, as suggested by the PCAS report, to aid in translation, provide meta tagging, and represent data provenance. Application of engineering systems analysis, including complexity analysis and optimization techniques to improve information flow, operational effectiveness, and efficiency of healthcare system. Finally, this research area includes investigation of new models of privacy and security. The goal of the area related to data, to knowledge, to decision is to develop methodology that would bring all available data to bear on each diagnostic and treatment decision for individual patients. This is in contrast to the current practice where clinical decisions are based on training and experience of individual clinicians. Examples of specific research areas include multimodal knowledge representation and analysis focused on complex and diverse data types. Needless to say, the humongous amount of data, big data, that we will be facing will require new computational approaches and analytic algorithms. Development of computational models that would enable optimal inference and data mining in conjunction with optimal decision fusion, optimal data fusion. Investigation of decision support algorithms and tools for clinicians based on big data is another huge issue. These algorithms must be able to fuse heterogeneous distributed data with diverse provenance and multiple temporal scales, multiple levels ranging from systems biology to organs, and include even behavioral and social data. Data analytics to extract knowledge from raw data will depend on the development of new statistical methods in the fields of data mining, machine learning, optimization, to discover hidden relationships among health-related aspects, including risk factors, drug efficacy, individual prognosis, prediction of future health states for individual and populations. This research area, sensors, devices, and robotics, is focused on the interaction between information and the physical world. Research topics include sensors, sensor networks, associated protocols that would support unobtrusive continuous monitoring of variety of phenomena ranging from molecular biology and gene expressions to physiological quantities, overt behaviors, and social interactions. Activators range from simple devices such as context-aware alert systems to complex intelligent autonomous systems and robotics. The purpose of these actuators is to assist, rehabilitate, enhance, and even replace human capabilities. NSF expects that this area will dovetail very well with the recently announced National Robotics Initiative. This research area is focused on developing the most effective ways to help patients and individuals and healthy individuals to participate in their own care, including shared decision-making, consistent with their individual values. This area also includes research on how to help people change their lifestyle and behaviors to prevent diseases and to maximize well-being. Research topics include interfaces to information to educate patients and informal caregivers, tailored to their educational, socioeconomic, and cultural background. Interfaces that enable patients to participate actively in their personal care and influence the decision-making process based on their values and priorities. Maximize patients' self-efficacy is a key point, for example, by coaching and computer games. Social networks to share information, support the community of caregivers, and help to maintain high level of socialization. techniques for just-in-time intervention that are the most effective in research in changing behaviors, utilization of existing and development of new, perhaps more quantitative models of behavioral change. Here is an example of using technology in support of healthcare paradigm shift. This slide shows a possible role of mobile technology in care and maintenance of well-being. An image of a young adult was chosen to illustrate the use of the technology to support active living, exercising, and performance improvements. Mobile technology is used here for both collection of observations and measurements, as well as a conduit to deliver performance feedback and coaching. In order to get a complete health state of a particular individual, especially elders and those with chronic diseases, it will be necessary to integrate mobile sensing with static data collection and intervention at home. This slide is a diagram I borrowed from Oregon Center for Aging and Technology, ORCATEC, illustrating multimodal data monitoring system at home, including medication adherence, sleep, and interaction with computers, looking at emails, looking at computer games, looking at typing speed. Computers are also used in addition to the mobile telephones to mediate social interaction and to deliver coaching. The combination of mobile home monitoring, genetic data, health-related imaging, and so on will create big data. To use these data to optimize care, preventive interventions, and individual decisions, we need to develop models that will be multi-scale, computational, and predictive. The modeling process will then enable optimization of information fusion, the development of behavioral phenotyping, and establishing of behavioral markers. These, in turn, will be used for assessment, prediction, and ultimately for coaching, maintenance, and rehabilitation. Now, during my presentation, I refer several times to computational models. The importance of computational models cannot be overstated, as they provide a number of key benefits. First, reducing the degrees of freedom enables significant gains in statistical efficiency. This can reduce the variability in the estimation processes without requiring large sample sizes. One of the most important potential features of computational models is their ability to make predictions for specific individual patients as opposed to make inferences about average patients. As such, computational models can be used to optimize intervention for individual patients in specific contexts. Finally, the process of building and evaluating quantitative models frequently generates new fundamental questions by making novel and unexpected predictions. During the remainder of this presentation, I will discuss briefly specific issues associated with the Smart Health and Well-being proposal preparation and submission. In contrast to the first year of this program, the current solicitation is cross-cutting across directorates, including science, engineering, and social, behavioral, and economic sciences. The objective of this change was to enhance the multidisciplinary research efforts to match the multidisciplinary nature of the problems. Again, I would like to emphasize that NSF is looking for innovative, high-risk, high-payoff proposals whose results would generalize across diseases and improve quality of life. This slide we included to illustrate the results of the Smart Health and Well-being effort during the first year. NSF received 200 proposals of individual projects, so about 280 proposals altogether, including the collaborative ones. The program was able to fund 10% of the small, 17% of medium, and 8% of the large ones. We would not be surprised if this year's solicitation will be larger because will yield larger submissions because we included three directorates. This year, the program plans to support two types of projects. Type 1 is exploratory, ranging from $200,000 to $600,000 of total budget, with duration of 2 to 3 years. The second type is type 2, integrative projects that range from $600,000 to about $2 million, with the total budget and duration from 4 to 5 years. In response to the previous Smart Health and Wellbeing solicitation, most proposals came close to the limits of their categories. This year, the ranges for each type of proposals are larger, but the reviewers will be asked to assess the appropriateness of the budget to the proposed work. The proposed projects should focus on transformational advancement in healthcare delivery and improvements in well-being, but must include advancement in one or more fundamental scientific areas, as indicated on this slide: engineering, computer science, or social behavior economics science. Proposals must include must target important healthcare problems. I included this slide because last year we have seen a number of proposals that could be described as follows. A researcher develops a hammer and then starts looking for nails. This approach is not consistent with the spirit of the Smart Health and Wellbeing program. Instead, we hope to receive proposals focused on one or more key healthcare and well-being problems, and then find creative ways to use fundamental scientific advances to solve it. The Smart Health and Wellbeing Program will not fund evaluation of existing technology and clinical trials. And this slide shows the several ways that you can apply, and you can find, of course, all of this on the solicitation, so I'm not going to waste time, and I will thank you for your attention, and we will now open the webinar for questions.
Okay, thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. If you need to withdraw your request, press star 2. It'll be one moment, please, for the first question.
Well, let me, before we get the next question, then maybe I can answer a couple of questions that we have received by email prior to the webinar. One question was a question about private industry. Will private industry be allowed to submit proposals? And generally, NSF funds universities and non-profit organizations. However, private industry can apply as a sub to a university or non-profit organization. Any questions from afar?
Okay, we do have a question from the phone line.
Okay.
Cynthia Skura, your line is open.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing fine. This is a little bit very exciting for me. I graduated from Empire State College. My interdisciplinary studies was...
You can't quite hear.
I'm sorry. The interdisciplinary studies of which was...
Can you speak up a little bit? We're really losing audio.
Louder. I'm sorry. Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. I'm sorry. I graduated. This is very exciting to me. I graduated from Empire State College in 10 with a Bachelor's of Science in Interdisciplinary Studies of the Sciences, which included nutrition and technology. And I've been doing a lot of research to nutrient density and in the past year and a half. And my question is, one, can I get a copy of this slideshow? And I have an idea for the returning veterans and the veterans that exist in today to how to better their lives. Because what I see out in the world is the depletion of the soil, and there's no nutrient density to our foods, and that's why we're getting the gene markers and the alleles in all of our people today.
But yes. So let me jump. First of all, I thank you for reminding me. On this slide, you see a website, and I'm leaving it on, that where the presentation and the whole record will be available in a couple of days, I think, right? And
thank you.
So, yes, you will have available, this information will be available. And as to your second part of your question, absolutely, I can repeat that the focus has to be an important well-being and healthcare question, which seems to fit in general your description. However, the proposal needs to address fundamental advances in one of the scientific disciplines covered by the proposal, by the solicitation. That's engineering, computer science, or social and behavioral and economic sciences.
Social and behavioral and economic. And
do you have another question?
Yes. Honestly, my battery is very low on my phone, so if it cuts out, I apologize for that. And I probably have a million other questions, but what I will do is I will contact you via email, if that's okay.
Absolutely. You can address our email to the team, and you will get a response from the team.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you so much. I this is absolutely thrilling to me, and my mother, both of my mom.
Well,
thank you
for your interest. We need to move on to.
Okay.
Another,
thank you.
And we have a question from Sharon Smith.
Hi, yes, this is Sharon Smith with Middle Tennessee State University. I have a question. Generally in the past and the proposals that maybe have been funded, is there any particular target audience, such as any particular children, elderly, or any characteristics of the target audience maybe that you could give us to get an idea of what we should be focusing on?
I would, if anybody else wants to respond, I will. So, in general, we are focused on well-being and quality of life, and that includes lifespan. So, we did not, on purpose, specify any particular group of individuals. But they, this does not preclude. So, for example, work that would focus on aging or infants or any of that would be fine. People with chronic diseases have been used as an example. But generally, the way we see this is that there is a problem that is addressed, and then a disease or condition can be used as example. We like to see solutions that are generalizable to as big populations, as important problems as possible.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from Andrea Dietrich.
Good afternoon, and thank you. I'm with Virginia Tech, and I have a question. We're a group that is seeking to do research in empowering individuals to invest in their own well-being. And my question is, for the larger projects, 2 out of 3 directorates are required. And our group focuses on the social, behavioral, and economic sciences and the engineering. Does this solicitation require involvement of someone from computer and information science and engineering, which seems to be the lead institution for the solicitation?
No.
That's a simple answer.
Two out of three.
Two out of three. So it could be any two out of the three.
And I have here sitting my colleagues from the other directorates that could amplify this if they feel like it.
Does that conclude your question, Andrea?
That was my question. Thank you.
Okay. We have a question from Koye. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. My question is, does NSF focus on work done internationally, or is it just only for domestic work? Thank you.
So, again, if anybody else wants to reply to this, but NSF funds American institutions. Now, at the same time, we encourage the collaboration with foreign institutions, but the way it's done is that the NSF is funding the American partners, and money has to be raised, for example, in Europe from European Union or other organizations to fund the partner in the foreign country. We do have provision where the Office of International Science and Engineering is able to fund travel of American individuals to foreign country if this can be justified.
Thank you.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Okay. And our next question comes from Vibha. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. This is Vibha Anand from Indiana University. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to ask this question. My area of interest is data to
knowledge. You're fading out.
Okay, I'll try and speak up. So my area of interest is data to knowledge to decision making. And I'm wondering, with this solicitation, I was told, like, you can develop models, but trying it out in a real clinical scenario is something that NSF is not probably looking to fund. Is that how I read this solicitation, or I can give you more details of the project that I would...
What was the area that you were concerned about?
Okay, data to knowledge to decision.
Yeah. So
reasoning under uncertainty, so basically trying to figure out what is... in our world, I deal with my area is pediatrics, so trying to figure out in well care what is next required to be assessed of these children in well care situation.
I see. So the answer to this, of course, is that the area is appropriate, but the there has to be a fundamental advancement in one of the three areas: engineering, social behavior, economic sciences. Or computer science, in addition to the clinical application. So now, if in order to solve your clinical problem and decision-making,
mm-hmm.
you need to advance algorithms that are used, or fusion techniques, or whatever, data processing techniques that would actually represent knowledge, contribution to knowledge in one of these areas, then it would be appropriate.
Right. So I think it needs all three, like you said. But the question is, if we apply for it, I was told the funding would not apply towards trying to evaluate in a clinical,
right.
You know. Is that still the case?
Right. We do not fund just straight evaluation of existing algorithms or technology.
Okay. All right. Well, that was my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from Omar.
Yes, actually, it's somewhat related to the earlier question. In essence, is this opportunity receptive to a systems approach where the aim is to integrate existing technology but in innovative ways to solve a particular problem, as opposed to developing a new technology for example, a data mining algorithm applied to healthcare?
I don't know. Russell, do you want to take this? Or my immediate response is that the integration could be innovative, and there certainly could be a huge contribution to science. But it has to be more than just putting existing things together and see if it works.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You guys are welcome to John. Pitch in, everybody.
Okay, our next question comes from Xiong Liu.
Hi, my name is Xiong from Wayne State University. We are currently considering submit a grant. We already have a team working on another project, but this is going to be a separate proposal. So the question I have is, do we need to include our doctor as a co-PI, or we can leverage another project without including them as a co-PI, but just support letters?
So I'm not sure I quite understand the issue here, because the solicitation specifies that a PI or co-PI cannot submit more than two proposals, right? But other than that, I'm not sure what really was the question.
The question is if the doctor is already working with us on a related project.
That's no problem.
And then this project, if we don't have the doctor, will that be a weakness, or that's actually fine?
It's fine. I mean, the way I see it is... Oh. Well,
because sometimes I heard NSF now
you have to convince the reviewers that your clinical application is serious. Okay, if you have... typically, we encourage multidisciplinary team, and in the integrative they are required. But the goal here is to make sure that you have the expertise to address the clinical or the health related problem.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And the next question comes from Chris.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's me, Chris Clifton at Purdue University. And my question is, how directly tied does this need to be to a particular clinical or healthcare application? I mean, are scientific advances that are kind of play into a variety of things, for example, in data management, data analysis, appropriate, or does it really need to be tied into, you know, particular demonstrations that this has, show that this is going to have clinical impact?
You need to have some evidence that what the advancement in science is going to have a clinical impact, and important clinical impact. And it is very important to have that part of the project included, because otherwise almost anything would potentially be useful, right? Yeah, number theoretic developments could be used in some clinical applications, but that wouldn't fly, right?
And does this mean that there needs to be some sort of clinical evaluation?
Not evaluation, but it has to have the clinical component that would... clinical relevance has to be demonstrated.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and our next question comes from Ivan.
That's me, Ivan Marsik from Rutgers University. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so could you please clarify this difference between the integrative and exploratory proposals? Does this sound like integrative would require more mature projects that already have significant prior results, what exactly is the difference between these two categories?
So the exploratory projects are smaller, and we expect that they would address problems at earlier stages. Now, the integrative projects, we represents more effort. Now, in some situations, that means that you may have more evidence or more prior data or whatever, but it does not. It's not required. Sometimes you may think of a problem that is very difficult and requires that kind of effort, and yet you may not have much prior data. So that's why the solicitation was written in such a way that the data, prior data, were not specified, or requirement for prior data.
So it sounds more like differences in size and scope rather than in how mature.
Absolutely. It's the differences in scope.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Bonnie Banerjee.
Hi, that's me from the University of Memphis. My question is, how much details do we need to get into the healthcare aspect in our proposal? So, for example, if we say that these are the healthcare problems that will be benefited using our algorithms, is that going to be enough? Or do we need to point out some very specific healthcare applications and show how our algorithms will be implemented for benefiting those applications?
You want to answer?
Yeah.
So you have to demonstrate the relevance of a specific relevance of the advancement in science to a clinical problem. It cannot be just one paragraph that says, "Oh yeah, this could be used there or there. This is going to eventually be useful in curing cancer." That wouldn't do. Okay, it has to be a real problem that is where the real problem has a barrier and gap that is then solved by this advancement in science and technology.
Right, but then do we need to get in the proposal at a NIH-like details of how the algorithm will be implemented and evaluated with patients?
You have to convince the reviewers that the problem is real and that you have perhaps risky but innovative approach in science to get at the problem.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from May Sam. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Meysam Govanlu from Georgia Tech. The relationship to the clinical aspect and the relevance of the problem to clinical world was mentioned a few times. I was wondering if a specific clinical evaluation could be a component of the proposed research.
So sometimes it's important to have a component that addresses the evaluation issue, but the emphasis that we have expressed in the solicitation and in my presentation was that the evaluation by itself is not enough. There has to be advancement of science. And then some projects may need serious evaluation, but it has to be evaluation of this fundamental advancement impact on the clinical problem.
So inclusion of that clinical evaluation component following the development of the new technology is not a problem. Is that right?
No, it's actually a plus, because that indicates kind of that you're more real, they're looking at the real problem. So it's a plus.
Thank you very much.
Evaluation, such as, for example, randomized controlled trials, is just very expensive and typically focuses on existing developed solutions. That's not what we are finding, but evaluation of innovative approaches that you've developed in advancing science then would be appropriate. Clinical validation is very welcome, yes.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Pietro. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Pietro Valdastri from Vanderbilt University. Can you please expand a little bit on surgical assist robots? Because
you're fading out. Can you speak louder to this telephone?
Oh, yeah, sorry. My name is Pietro Valdastri from Vanderbilt University, and I would like to ask some clarification about surgical assist robots, because I perfectly understand what are rehabilitation robots, but if you can give more details about or some examples about surgical assist robots.
Well, I would like to avoid specific examples, but the idea here is that the program is focused on well-being and health of individuals, right? Now, sometimes issues that have to do with surgical procedures may affect it. For example, laparoscopic surgery, robotic surgery may make it possible for somebody to have surgery in a rural environment and in an Antarctic environment. And so it would be possible to have advances in robotics that would be applied to that, although it would probably be a little bit of a stretch here.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on 1 second. Right. Yes, Howard just reminded me that a proposal like that may be more appropriate for the National Robotics Initiative that was announced earlier, mid last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And our next question comes from Lawrence Sugarman.
Hi, thank you. Lawrence Sugarman from Rochester Institute of Technology. I'm listening long enough that I think you've answered my question, but I'm going to focus it in case it helps. This is the question on methodology in the proposal. I'm comfortable that we are developing innovative advances in social behavioral computer science by working towards developing a physiologically controlled a video game that focuses on health and well-being in innovative ways that promote psychophysiologic self-regulation. The critical methodology in the proposal is in testing, game testing and retesting and refining with a variety of different populations, some of whom have a specific disorder, others are healthcare providers, others are computer technology folks. So that evaluation piece is, I think I'm hearing you say, is okay. That's where we're going to generate our data to say, yes, our algorithm and our game engagement and the data that comes out of it is useful. But where the test is in having these people do this and analyzing their responses to questionnaires, interviews, et cetera.
And, of course, yes, you got that quite right.
Okay.
The important thing is that that there be fundamental advancement compared to where the field is now, because there are a lot of efforts and variety of seriousness with games and physiological measurements, physiologically controlled games and computer interactions.
Right.
So important thing is to have that advance, and then testing it is important too.
Okay, I think we're there. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And our next question comes from Tanzeem Chowdhury.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Misha. So this is Tanzeem Chowdhury from Cornell, and I think my question is related to the previous one. So it's clear that kind of you're not looking for clinical trials and advancement, fundamental kind of scientific advancement. What's still kind of a bit unclear to me is like what type of evaluation are you looking for in this proposal to kind of assess that the resulting results will be addressing a core problem? Is the evaluation kind of combined, if there is algorithmic advances combined with applied to the population or the group, so you are explicitly kind of seeing some evaluation with individuals with that kind of health problem or health area. So I just wanted to kind of have a little bit more clarity of how you're differentiating between a clinical trial and evaluation to assess that a fundamental scientific advancement is being made while advancing or addressing a health problem and a core health problem.
Well, the simple answer, of course, is very specific to your field, but you have to be able to convince. If you come up with a new advance algorithms or approaches or new sensing technology, you have to be able to convince yourself that it works, right? So you need to have enough in your proposal to figure out how to test it and how to figure out that the advancement is actually made. What we are trying to shy away from is a broad randomized controlled trials which try to sample a huge number of correctly populations and evaluate the drugs or interventions on population level. That is not necessary.
But I guess the first part of your answer was clear, but if the broad randomized control trial isn't necessary, but some effectiveness in the domain that we are addressing is necessary, right?
Right. So, for example, if you have a technique, for example, for measuring style of conversations or something of that sort, you might want to convince the reviewers that you're going to figure out how you assure yourself that the measurements that you think you are making and the inferences that you're making with your algorithms are going to be actually correct inferences.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Shiyu Zhou.
Yeah, this is Shiyu from University of Wisconsin Madison. By listening to this presentation, it seems like this program really focuses on the preventive care and the home-based care. So if we have a project that focuses on the safety and efficiency of the operation of inpatient care units, will that project fit in the scope of this program?
Well, I'm not sure I got the question.
Yeah.
If one of you guys got it, come on.
Yeah, the question...
Okay, so this is Russell Barton. So the safety and efficiency of inpatient care does fit also, because when we're talking about enabling individuals, we're also enabling the healthcare delivery individuals. So, yes, that would fit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And next,
okay, we have time for one more question, and then we have to wrap up because we need to clear the room.
Okay. Our last question then comes from Eric Heckler.
Hi, Misha. Eric Heckler from Arizona State University.
Hi.
I just have a very broad question, actually. Planning on submitting an application here, but I tend to come mostly from the NIH world more, and so I've been trying to get a better. I'm just curious if you could give an understanding, particularly with all the interdisciplinary nature of this focus. What is the review panel made up like, and how should someone, when they're thinking about writing, think about who might be on the review to sort of tailor what type of information we might be able to move quickly on versus, you know, elaborate on more?
Yeah. So the process is actually quite simple. When we receive the proposals, we classify them into groups of similar proposals. And then we recruit reviewers to cover most of the aspects of that group of proposals. If there are proposals that are outside of the expertise of the reviewers that we were able to get for that panel, we will do what's called ad hoc review, send the proposal to specific individuals that have expertise that are missing from the panel.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So I think that we need to wrap it up. What I would like to say is the questions that were submitted by emails will be answered and added to the website in the next couple of days. So don't worry about the fact that we didn't get to those. I would like to thank everybody for participating in this webinar, and I'm looking forward to receiving fantastic, innovative and proposals. Thank you.
And that concludes today's call. Please disconnect your lines at this time.